Is the Cold War in any way being reinvigorated? In fact, in 2012, in one of the debates between Obama and Romney, then President Obama said the Cold War has been over for 20 years, quote unquote. But there's a new book out called The Kremlin Conspiracy. It's a novel. It's by Joel Rosenberg. But Joel Rosenberg has written several books, many of which have been on the New York Times best-selling list. And a lot of times he seems to be ahead of the curve. Whatever he talks about in his book seems to unfold in the newspaper or the headlines in the next several months. Joel, it's great to have you on the program. Thanks so much for taking your time to talk with me.
Hey, my pleasure, Jerry. Great to be with you.
All right. This is Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and let's get right to it. You've been writing several books, mostly about the Middle East and the threat of radical Islam. You've been talking a lot about Iran in many of your books. But this is a new shift for you, isn't it?
It is. Yes, right. I've been writing about the threat of radical Islamism, apocalyptic Islam, and these types of challenges to the United States, to our European allies, and of course our allies in the Middle East, Israel, among others. And but I needed to sort of reshuffle the deck professionally, you know, and just look at other places where threats are rising, where evil is rising, and my eye just kept getting drawn back to Moscow. And my, you know, I have a little bit of a, this is a little bit personal for me. I'm Jewish on my father's side and Gentile on my mom's side. My father's side, they were Orthodox Jews that had to escape out of Russia in around 1906 when Tsar Nicholas II was fomenting these horrifying waves of anti-Semitic attacks in which 60,000 Jewish people in Russia were murdered and many were raped and beaten and tortured. It's horrible. So my family were able to escape by the grace of God and came to the United States. Mm-hmm. And this is where we found political freedom, certainly economic freedom, but most importantly, the spiritual freedom to find Jesus as Messiah. So this was transformative for us. But I think by my family history, Jerry, and also maybe even my DNA, I've always been concerned about the history and the future of Russia. And so I decided to write about an evil dictator rising in Moscow as a modern-day czar. And that was the genesis for the Kremlin conspiracy.
That's so interesting. By the way, those killing episodes that you were describing, you could see a taste of that in Fiddler on the Roof, and those were called pogroms, P-O-G-R-O-M-S. Right. I didn't realize as many as 60,000 people would have been killed in that. That's amazing.
Right. You may recall the line from Fiddler on the Roof, which was, may God bless and keep the Tsar far away from us.
Yeah, that's right.
The Tsar was a hated, evil man. He wasn't hated by the Russians. He was hated by Jews who were loyal people in the Russian society, but there was just sort of a satanic, demonic, you know, anti-Semitic hatred, as we have faced in many countries all over the world historically. So, yeah, that's a problem. And, you know, if you were an Orthodox Jew in Russia in 1906, you had two options, fiddle on the roof or escape. And, of course, many were not able to escape and were trapped in the Soviet system. The Russian Revolution happened a few years after we escaped, and then the Soviet Empire, and it was horrifying. Yeah. But many Jews were able to escape, but unfortunately many of those Russian Jews settled in Poland and Germany and Austria and Central and Eastern Europe, having escaped out of Russia, thinking, okay, now we're safe, and only to get caught up in the horrors of World War One, World War Two, and of course the Holocaust. So we were very fortunate, and really we didn't know Jesus, we didn't have the Holy Spirit, but God was merciful to our family. And you know, Jerry, the three most famous Rosenbergs in all of history, two of them were Julius and Ethel Rosenberg, the Soviet spies in America that betrayed America and were convicted, and I believe they were electrocuted. That was horrible. And then there was an Alfred Rosenberg. He was a senior advisor to Adolf Hitler. He wasn't Jewish. It was a German name. But, yeah, so I'm sort of trying to redeem the name.
Yeah.
And
well, you're doing a good job.
Political thrillers, yeah. Both to thrill, but also to share the gospel, to raise warnings of worst-case scenarios that could happen if our Western leaders are blindsided by evil they don't see coming.
Do you see Putin as trying to, in a sense, reinvent the czars in himself? And I understand, for example, there's a scene in the book, and my wife has read the book and loved it, and I look forward to reading it. I'm just being honest. I haven't read it yet, but plan on it. And that there's a scene where he gets married, but he does it in such a way where he's reconstructing the way Nicholas II was married in the late 1800s.
Right. You're referring to the character Oleg Kraskin. He's a young 27-year-old up-and-coming lawyer who falls in love with the daughter of the emerging dictator of Russia. He doesn't know he's going to be a dictator yet. Oleg doesn't. But he marries into the family, and the father-in-law becomes the president of Russia, and he sees himself as a czar. So he wants his daughter to marry in the exact same church with the exact same wedding dress and all the fixings, as it were, of the czarist wedding from, you know, the late 1800s. And so this young lawyer is getting swept up in something that is both exciting but then turns very dark. He doesn't understand what he's marrying into. So I see Vladimir Putin as a modern-day czar. I think he sees himself that way. We haven't seen him talk that way yet, but I think we will soon. In other words, it's taken about 18 years for Vladimir Putin to consolidate all power, all control, all wealth in his hands in Russia. Russia after the Soviet Union was a nascent emerging democracy and even free market economy, but they got detoured along the way because, you know, the former head of the KGB, Vladimir Putin, took over the country. And now he has turned it into, you know, a police state again. It's a dark place. Opponents they disappear or they die. Mm. You can't be a critic or an opponent of Russia and live for long inside the borders of Russia. And as we hear about these poisonings and assassinations in the UK and elsewhere, you can barely be a critic or opponent of Vladimir Putin outside the borders of Russia. This is a man who he lusts for power, for wealth, for control, and I think he's trying to rebuild the glory of Mother Russia. And just as the Chinese have just decided to make their leader essentially an emperor for life, I have no doubt Putin will go down that road and pull from that tradition in Russia in which you have the monarch that they call a czar.
Could you see, then, in a very real sense, a great threat from Russia to the United States and to the free world?
I do. I do see that. Because, first of all, you have to realize that most Americans, you know, aren't paying that closely of an attention to Vladimir Putin. We've had other threats and issues to deal with, mainly from the Middle East, which, as I've been writing about. But one of the reasons for writing The Kremlin Conspiracy, though it's fiction, is to use entertainment, fiction, to draw people's attention on a high-speed, high-octane thriller ride into a world that I believe is becoming a major threat to us. Look, Vladimir Putin in the last few years has already invaded the Republic of Georgia, and he occupies 20% of that country to this day, illegally and cruelly. He took over southern Ukraine and annexed the region known as Crimea. He took over the eastern portion of Ukraine, a sovereign country, and they call the Donbass region, and he controls it now. He sent Russian military forces into Syria to help Bashar al-Assad, the bloody, bloodthirsty dictator of Syria, to work with Iran to slaughter hundreds of thousands of people and essentially have Russia and Iran take over Syria. As I say, journalists are disappearing or dying. Critics are disappearing or dying. You know, people are getting assassinated and poisoned. This is Vladimir Putin. He not only is an emerging modern-day czar, I think the best way to understand Vladimir Putin is to watch the Godfather series.
Hmm.
You know, he's a gangster. and he has thuggish tactics, but he's not Sonny Corleone. He's not a rash, hot-headed, impulsive street thug. He's Michael Corleone. He's a cold, calculating killer. He just also happens to have 2,500 nuclear warheads and ICBMs in his back pocket. This is what makes him more dangerous. This is what makes Vladimir Putin more dangerous than radical Islamism, because the radical Islamists of ISIS or Iran, they hope to someday have nuclear weapons and the long-range missiles to deliver them. Vladimir Putin already has them, and the willingness to kill and invade that he demonstrates again and again and again. And we've got to show steel in containing him and countering the Putin threat.
Now, would you describe this novel as a Christian book?
Well, it competes with every secular thriller that's on the New York Times list right now. It's number 15 on the New York Times list.
Congratulations.
Number 6 on the Publisher's Weekly list.
Wow.
It's number 23 on USA Today's list. They all calculate it differently. So my goal is to compete with every single thriller writer that's out there, none of whom are writing from a Christian worldview. But it's true that mine have a spiritual journey in them as an evangelical Christian. The challenge, Jerry, as you might imagine, is how do you write a Tom Clancy-esque political thriller that competes with the best political thrillers in the world to weave in a spiritual story and yet not throw people out of the story who aren't expecting it or even wanting it to be there? That I find that an enormous challenge, but yeah. I like that challenge. And you know, we have almost 5 million copies sold in my career, and world leaders are reading them. King Abdullah of Jordan has read 3 of them. Mike Pence, the Vice President of the United States, has been a fan since he was in the House of Representatives. I just saw him a couple weeks ago. He at a small luncheon. He didn't know I was going to be there. He came over, gave me a hug, and said, "Hey, where's the? How come I don't have the next book yet?"
So
it's exciting. Mike Pompeo at CIA, soon to be at the State Department, a fan of these novels. And so when you write them, you need to write them for the general public.
Sure.
But I'm also writing them in a way that can hold the attention and the interest of leaders at the highest levels and still have a spiritual Christian theme in there. And, again, challenging, but exciting.
Yeah. I like what one writer put. The Kremlin conspiracy seems to be, quote-unquote, ripped from tomorrow's headlines. You've done it again. I don't know how you keep doing it. By the way, my wife said that there's almost a part two begging to be written at the end of this, but I don't know.
Not
I mean,
begging. It's being written.
It's being written. Okay, okay.
I would be working on this next thriller. It's the beginning of a series, so people who pick up the Kremlin conspiracy haven't missed anything.
Okay.
And you got, I talked to you about this dictator rising in Russia. Okay, he's not Putin, but he's Putin-esque. You got Oleg Kraskin, who marries into the dictator's family and sort of joins the Godfather family, which he suddenly thinks later, oh man, what have I done?
Yeah.
And then the hero of the book, not to give too much away, but just to set it up, Marcus Riker, he is a former U.S. Marine, becomes a U.S. Secret Service agent,
mm-hmm.
but has some tragedies in his life I won't get into on the air here, but then so leaves government and finds himself in Moscow just at the moment where the most dangerous moment between the United States and Russia in the history of these two countries, and the lives of Marcus and Oleg converge. And, that's the heart of the story.
All right. Well, Joel, we're out of time. Thanks so much for being with us. JoelRosenberg.com. Is that right? For more information?
That's true. You can get the book in hardcover, ebook, or audio at any bookstore, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Christian bookstores. But you can come to JoelRosenberg.com to learn more.
And Rosenberg is spelled with B-E-R-G. Thanks, Joel. God bless you and all the best.
Thanks, Jerry.
All right. Thanks now. Bye-bye.